That's the name of our series, Jesus On. And you fill in the blank. Last week, we looked at Jesus On Life. And now on this Sunday, we'll be looking at Jesus' opinion. I shouldn't even say opinion, the fact, because everything the Lord says is always true. And that's what we ought to lean on for our lives, what Christ has declared over us. Have you been blessed thus far? Come on, help me thank God in here, for God truly has been good to us. So grateful for our praise team, musicians, media ministry greeters, and each and every one of you, as together we turn our attention to the Word of God. I invite you to join me in what may be a familiar passage of Scripture to some of us, and that's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where our message for the morning is going to come from. And we're going to zero in beginning at the 25th verse. So if you grab your copy of God's Word and join me there in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. God's Word declares, this is our Savior speaking. He's speaking on the side of a mountain to those who are following him, have placed their faith in him. And in the midst of his sermon, listen closely, Michelle, to what the Lord has to say. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of our Lord. And Father, we thank you so much, because you know exactly where we are. You know what we need. Most importantly, we need you to speak to us, that you'd engrave your words on our hearts and in our minds, that it might be applied to our lives, that we might develop fruit and learn to trust you more and love each other better. All for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may know this slogan. Ty, I'm sure you've heard this before. Everything is bigger in... Oh, you said that like you were a Texan. Everything is bigger in Texas. Taxes, property taxes. Shannon, everything's supposed to be bigger in Texas. And a recent article just came out. It was just released on today that Texas is not only big in land, and I might say in attitude, but also in stress and worry. See, news out of Austin recently ranked the U.S. 50 biggest cities based on four major categories: well-being, economic prosperity, livability, and leisure. And one Texas city ranked as the most uptight city in all the nation. You have any idea what city that might be? Oh, no, actually, Dallas was 13th. Mm-hmm. Right, but you get one more guess. Yeah, y'all are reluctant to say it, but it's Houston, our beloved city. It's considered the most uptight and stressful city in our entire nation, citing traffic as being the greatest source. Some of you testifying already. The greatest source of stress and anxiety. We're going to talk about Jesus on anxiety. As you heard, Jesus has something to say, and his perspective is what matters most. Because unmanaged stress, anxiety, worry, according to modern science, can cause physiological, psychological, emotional, and a host of other debilitating conditions. Modern medicine analyzes and research reveals proven links between anxiety and unhealthy living. Unmanaged anxiety, a result of worry, has been known to raise your blood pressure. Worry weakens the immune system. And it also impacts us spiritually. It depletes your joy. It stunts your growth. When we allow the weight of worry to bear down on us. John Lubbock said, a day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work. Now, I don't want you to nickname the person next to you worry. But I do want you to hear with clarity. And when somebody says they are worried sick, they're telling the truth. And the thing about worry and anxiety, here's the reality that anxiety is never the answer for any situation. Most of what we worry about doesn't even occur. And the message the master desires for us to learn from is how to live without anxiety by fixating on God's faithfulness. In fact, if I had you taking notes for you, I'd write this down. Focusing on the Father's faithfulness frees from the weight of worry. Has God been faithful to anybody in here? Maybe you need a moment to think back over your life and see just how good God has truly been to you. I'm going to go ahead and take a pause break just for a moment. Why don't you go ahead and just think. Has God done anything for you in your life that's worthy of praise? And it's when we focus on his faithfulness that we are able to be freed from the suffocation of anxiety and worry. And listen, I'm not just talking to your neighbor, I'm talking to you as well, because if we're honest about it, all of us have spent some time in the war room of worry. In fact, some of us, we brought it in with us. And you know what? If you did, you're in the right place. This is the place to come when you feel like you're surrounded by anxiety, when you feel like you can't go any further, when you feel like the burdens of life are so heavy. This is the right place to be. And God's word speaks to our condition. Check it out. The text we read together. Anxiety, my translation says anxiety or anxious. Yours may say trouble or stress. It's mentioned over 6 times in 10 verses. I think Jesus is trying to get something over for you to understand. That he does not desire, nor has he designed us to live under the crushing weight of worry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when worry surrounds you, what do? When you went to the back of the book, didn't you? You know, kids, before they gave laptops in school, we actually had books Anybody ever had a book in school? I'm just checking. I'm trying to see where my age group at. And you know, if you knew anything about the books, oftentimes, Tony, you're too young, bro. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Tyrone, you know what I'm talking about, man. You know, we used to cover the books. You cover the books. If you didn't have a cover, you got some brown paper back. Anybody? You customized it. You put your own thing on there. And in the back of the book, you'd always find the answers. I heard somebody yell out when I said, what do you do when you find yourself in worry? When it surrounds you. Somebody yelled out, you pray. And that is the right answer. Because here's the reality, y'all. Worry does not work. So work not to worry. I need you to help me say that. Say, worry does not work. Now go ahead and turn to the person next to you and just tell them. Say, worry does not work. So work not to worry. And I want to be sensitive here, you. Yeah, me too, man. That's why I wrote it down. I want to be sensitive, though, because the reality is that some of us, we've gone through some things that really has caused worry to develop in our lives. There are times when you've experienced trauma, and when that trauma sets in, you normalize the chaos to the degree that you think that everybody is experiencing what you're experiencing. All right, you don't believe me? Let me say it this way. Look, back in the day, I bought my first car. My first car. Where are my children at? I bought my first car. There you go. I got somebody who understands what I'm saying here. Got my first car, man. It was a Nissan Datsun. It was a red sports ride. It was my first car. I was doing real good at it, you know, real good. I mean, I had the first seats. You don't even know all that. But anyway, one day when I was coming from school, somebody rear-ended my sports car. And for the next 6 months, I found myself looking in the rearview mirror more than I was looking in the windshield because of the impact and trauma that had happened in my life. And some of us right now, if you're honest about it, the reason you don't trust anybody, and the reason you walk around looking over your shoulders is because somebody hurt you a long time ago and it hasn't healed yet, and now you walk around with this weight of anxiety waiting for the next shoe to drop in life. And God, Christ, is telling us that this is not the design that he has for us. He says, do not be anxious. In fact, Scott, it's a command. But it's the kind of command that in order for you to comply with it, you have to learn how to connect with God. In fact, that's the first thing we have to understand, that if we're going to be freed from the weight of worry, we have to comply to the command. And the command is, do not be anxious. Do not worry. And look at how Christ says it. He says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or worry about your body. It says, don't worry about it because your life is more valuable than those things. Yeah. And then he calls in an example. I love this text. He calls an example and he says, look at the birds. Birds. Birds, he says, they don't have a job, they don't clock in, they don't apply for a raise. He said, and yet your heavenly Father feeds the birds. Birds don't have a refrigerator, a deep freezer, and from New Orleans, two deep freezers. birds don't have a meal plan, but they have you. But he says, but your heavenly Father, your personalized. Because when God is your Father, you can see his faithfulness in everything he does. But the reality is sometimes we're so distracted by the technology that we have in our lives that we don't see the reality of what God is trying to get over to us. And that is, if I can take care of the birds, if I can take care of the grass, if when I told the sun to go up, it got up and stayed up, and I told the moon to go up, it goes up and stays up. If I can take care of all of the universe, what makes you think I can't take care of you? So Christ says to us, look at them, observe them, and then consider, in God's eyes, you are more valuable than the birds. And if he's taking care of the birds, then don't you think he has his eye on you? Look at text. Because he tells us to look at the birds and consider the lilies of the field. This is wild grass that grows. Some of you complain about it in your front yard. It's there. And you wonder why it grows so quickly. And you wonder why the weeds coming up real quick. And God's just trying to help you understand. Listen, look at how I am faithful to take care of even bad grass. And some of you might relate to bad grass. And yet God, in his faithfulness, really, he has been taking care of you. Yeah. He says, consider it. Consider the last time you were worried about something. I like this text. I like this text because I remembered in my childhood how they misrepresented how you were supposed to grow. In my childhood, not yours, my childhood. You know, because they told me if I ate my vegetables, if I ate spinach, I would grow. And you know, I'm the same size I've been since I was in like 11th grade. But check this out. He says, consider it, right? That nature does not labor, and yet God not only takes care of it, but he says, take time to realize just how beautiful it is. I love this. He says, because what's man-made can never touch what's God-made. Boy, if I had some time, I'd tell you, you need to be more natural, but I don't want to get in trouble here. He says, look at it. He says, but if God, verse 30, so clothed the grass that's here today, and it's gone tomorrow, then couldn't he also much more clothe you? Some of you need to look back, because you remember a time in your life, maybe it's just me, Mama, you remember a time in your life where you had two sets of clothes. You had school clothes, and you had church clothes. You had a pair of church shoes. You missed it. I said a pair. You got it now. You had a pair of church shoes. And Ty, I know, bro, you got all those Nikes stacked up in your dorm, but come with me for a moment. And you had school shoes. And your play shoes were your last year's. Boy, some of y'all know what I'm talking about in here. And now you look at your life now, and how many shoes God has given you, how much clothing God. Some of you went in your closet this morning saying, I ain't got nothing to wear. And you're looking at a whole wardrobe of stuff. God has been taking care of you. But withdrawing from worry to worship is the answer for the anxiousness that we face. Because worry will make you sick. But worship will make you whole. And when you get in God's presence, begin to remember what God has already done for you. Because when you think about what God has already done, it gives you faith to know what he's able to do. And so you have to observe the obvious. Observe the obvious. When you walk outside, just take a moment and take it all in and say, you know what? God did that. You know, you look outside and say, God did that. And if God can do this and God can do that, then I'm not worried, because God can take care of little old me. God is so interested in your life. Michael, good to see you, man. You are a walking testimony, bro. Last time I saw you were MD Anderson. I'm looking at you right now. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And check this out, Mike. God is so interested in you. He knows the hairs that used to be on your head. I'm just telling y'all the truth. He says, verse 31, therefore do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? This is very important. Because even though he's bringing up, don't question, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Notice the emphasis here is on don't be anxious saying. Because sometimes the anxiety and the worry that we face is really in the warfare of our minds. And Satan just wants to get your mind off of the things of God. And so he fills your mind with the what ifs and the uncertainties. And perhaps this will happen and that will happen. Failing to realize what God has already faithfully demonstrated in your life and the life next to you. Because when we tell our testimony about what God has already done, Nina, it would help other people understand that if God can do it for you, then I'm sure enough that God can do it. If God can save you, then I know God can save me. If God can heal you, then I know God can heal me. And I want to be sensitive here because I know that we wrestle with it. Sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes we need medical intervention. First seek God so God can direct you to the right person who he's assigned to help you. But don't ignore what you're going through. Because your emotions are real. Anxiety is real. But God doesn't desire for you to live with anxiety. Watch what you say to yourself. Because when you speak to yourself, you got to prioritize with eternal perspective. That when you, don't look at me like you don't talk to yourself. You know you talk to yourself. Now, some of you talk and answer, but that's a whole nother thing. What kind of talk do you say to yourself? Because the reality is, if we're going to grow in this area, Anthony, we have to have some God talk in us. We have to look in the Word and say, you know what? Let me tell you what God said about me. He said that I'm his child, because all who believe on the name of Jesus Christ can be called the children of God. That's my God talk. God told me, I shall supply all your needs according to the riches of God. That's the God talk. I shouldn't be getting this excited. But Liz, we got to watch what we say to ourselves. You know, that's that old cliche that goes around and says, you know, if you're going to worry, then don't pray. And if you're going to pray, then don't. Yeah, that's wrong. Let me remix that for a moment. If you worry, pray until you pray your worry away. All right. You want me to say it again, man? I just made that thing up, bro. I came up in the 80s, man. Rap culture, bro. You know, that's freestyle. You just got to let it flow. Catch it when you catch it, all right? But that was a cliche, right? It says, you know, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. But that's not right. It's if you worry, pray until you pray your worry away. Because if we pray as much as we worry, our worry would be a prayer prompt to get us in the presence of God. Boy, I'm trying to help y'all understand something. I know you can't just cut it off. I know that we've been conditioned by our society to always think the negative before we can think of the positive. But here's the reality. When it comes, let it be your prompt to say, you know what? I need to pray. I need to pray until I can be like the psalm that says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let me exalt his name together. Notice, check, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, which means I got to see God as so big that he's bigger than whatever problem that I'm bringing before him. Yeah. I hope y'all get this. I hope you get this. But we prioritize with eternal perspective. You know, some of you, I know, some of you are going to be taking a trip real soon because something's going to be happening on tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? See, you already know something's going to happen tomorrow. And some of you all, you're going to go out there, and you're going to go check out the eclipse. You're going to go check out the eclipse, and great. You know, I think it's wonderful. That's something you want to do. But before you check out the eclipse, they're going to give you a special apparatus so you can see what you're supposed to see when the eclipse happens. The eclipse is when the moon comes in front of the sun and it blocks the light. Mm-hmm. But they're going to give you some special glasses so you can see through, so you can appreciate what you're seeing. You're not with me just yet here. God has given you some special glasses that when it gets dark in your life, all you got to do is lift up the lens of the Word of God so you can put things in their proper perspective. Let me help you. Weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes in. Let me help you put it in proper perspective. All things, not some things and a few things, all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Put it in the proper perspective. How do you do that? Well, you practice prayerful conversations with God. It's interesting that Christ is giving us this teaching in the same chapter He taught us how to pray. So how do you handle anxiety? You began by practicing prayerful conversations with God. Talk more to God than you talk to yourself. If we prayed as much as we stayed on social media, if we read our Bible, you know what, let me not meddle. Sometimes I wish God would just transform TikTok into the text. Read scripture throughout the day. Read the Bible. Read the Word of God, because in it there is life. Memorize the promises God has given you. Every day, take a promise with you. In fact, text it to yourself so you can read it all through your day. And then rehearse responses of righteousness. That when people are coming in with negativity in your life, you got to tell them that you are allergic to negativity. Somebody come to you and you just break out with holy hives and say, you know what, because I know too much about what God has already said He would do, and I got a testimony myself of what He's already done. So I'm going to go back on what He's already proven and not what the naysayers say about what's going on. Listen, I'm not worried about if the world ends tomorrow. Guess what? I know that Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back for His church. I'm not concerned about what people are thinking about. No, because God has me covered. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be comfortable. That doesn't mean that things won't happen in your life that will cause you to wonder and to worry. It doesn't mean that you won't have to spend some time on your knees saying, God, this weight is too heavy for me. But when the weight gets too heavy, that's where you go. You get down on your knees and you cast your cares unto the Lord, because He cares for you. Man, I hope we get this, y'all. But here's the problem. Can I tell you about the problem? Here's the problem. The problem is that we're under this illusion of control. As though we are in control. I know Janet Jackson said it, but no, you're not in control. God never required you to have control. God requires us to trust Him at the controls. And you have to give Him full control of that. That's why He ends it this way. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. You still got your Bibles open? He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious. Oh, come here. Which means it's not even your role to be anxious, because that's for the day to do. You're not catching it just yet. Tell your neighbor right quick. Just tell him, stay in your lane. Yeah, just stay in your lane. Stop trying to borrow from tomorrow, worries from tomorrow, and try to apply them today. God says, baby, you didn't even make tomorrow. I'm the God that's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if you're going to trust anybody, trust the one who can control tomorrow. I know you got to go to work and there's some haters high on haterade when you get there, but guess what? God can take care of them just like He's taking care of you. So how do we do this? We enter the future with faith in God's faithfulness. Got some few guys here that was at the men's retreat. We just got back. Raise your hand if you were at the men's retreat. Don't some of y'all in here? There you go. Yeah, we were there. And I think I was the last one to. No, Lucas, you came the next morning, but you didn't come the way I came. Okay, I think I was the one that arrived at the latest time. Yeah. So check it out. I officiated a wedding. After I officiated the wedding, I got on the road. Got a road tie to go to the men's retreat. But I failed to realize that GPS doesn't have everything. And when you turn on those roads that stop having businesses, you're not with me just yet here. Greg, when you're driving and you see gas stations and you see corner stores and you see civilization, but I kept driving. And I turned on what was called FM. You know when it started having letters in the thing with numbers, you know you went on the wrong road. I turned on FM 478, and there were no street lights. There was nothing down that road. I thought I was the only one in the world at that point. It's about 11:30 at night, and I'm driving through. Now, I'm kind of flying through, but it's okay. I'm driving through, and my GPS in my truck had no map. It was like my truck was just flying. Phone had no signal for the GPS. I started praying because I was like, Lord, I got one of them old school deacon prayers, knee bent, body bowed. Here I am, Jesus. I need you to help me. All of a sudden, I got a call from Lee. Susan, you appreciate this. Lee called me. The call came through. And then I said, hey, Lee, I'm driving towards you. He said, how close are you? He said, man, I don't know. He said, what you see? I said, nothing, like nothing. He said, well, keep on driving. He said, check this out. He said, I'm going to see you. I said, Lee, how you going to see me if I can't see you? He said to me, because you're going where I've already been. God, I hope y'all catch this kind of stuff. God is like, listen, you don't have to worry because where you're going, I've already been. I'm already there. I'm there when you get there. And all you got to do is learn how to trust me and you'll enjoy the ride. So here it is. I put on my music. Lee was listening on the other end and he was like, I don't understand that music. I said, it's all right, bro. You're going to learn here. And then when Lee, I'm telling you a little bit, Lee turned his music on when I got there, but it was all good. And we had a good time of fellowship and devotion as brothers coming together before the Lord. But I want you to get you to understand something. In that dark night, when I couldn't see where I was going, there was somebody on the other line to direct me. When you find yourself in a dark night, and you will find yourself at times in a dark night, you got to connect your line to heaven. Because from heaven's perspective, God sees it all. And as long as you're connected to him and he's connected to you, he has everything under. I'm done now. It's all under control. And so I hope you get this, that when you hear Jesus saying, do not be anxious, that you comply with the command. You observe the obvious. You prioritize with eternal perspective. And you enter the future with faith in God's faithfulness. And that's how you cope. You overcome and you get through it. Can you give God some praise in this place? Peter says it this way. He says, cast your cares. All of your cares. He says, cast them. That's transferring. Alan, transfer your cares to the Lord. Because there's one thing he cares about. He cares for you. So transfer the weight of your worry into the mighty hands of God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. I'm driving in that dark night. He'll direct you to where he wants you to go. It requires that we come to him. Y'all know we come in here with weights. You come in here with worries. There's some things that have been weighted on you for years. And God is saying, lay that at the altar. So right now, as we sing, I just want to encourage you to take this time and pray to the Lord and leave your burdens at the altar and trust Him. Where He says, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants to lift that off your shoulders. The anxiety in your home, the anxiety in your marriage, the anxiety at work, God wants to lift that off your shoulders. He wants you to trust Him with it. You've already tried. And you saw it, God, where He got you. Now try Jesus. Give Him your life and watch how He can transform your reality, not just for this life, but He can give you eternal life. So as we sing, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to come down these aisles, meet me right here up front, and lay your burdens at the altar and trust God and see if He won't do what He said He'll do. So come on. Come on. Stand all over the building. And as you feel led, come on down these aisles. Come on, come on, come on. Let's lay it before the Lord. Let's leave it with Him. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.